Welcome to Plain English with Pastor Jay, God's Word for Everyday People.
See, all my life, all the areas I was successful in, I had been taught, I had been trained, I had been educated to be successful. And I made that promise. I said, Lord, I will live this thing out. If you show me what marriage was supposed to look like when you first made it, if you teach me the steps that I never learned, that I never had a person show me or take my hand, I promise I will share it with whoever will listen. And that's the blueprint I'm here to share with you today. And I'm excited about it. Let me tell you. I'm excited because I've seen what God has been able to do. And I know this stuff works, but let me tell you. You know how you hear the medication stuff on TV and it sounds like the side effects is almost as bad as what you got? You're like, well, man, if I got to go through all of that to take the medicine, maybe I should just have a stroke. This medicine I'm about to give you, it's going to hurt. It ain't going to be easy. It's going to be some days which keeping this stuff at the forefront of your mind, I'm telling you, is going to be the hardest thing you ever do. Because there has to be consistency behind it. I can't just do this for 2 days and be like, Lord, it's not working. I can't do it for a week and say, Lord, I quit. I can't do it for a month and say, you know what? This is too much. He ain't worth it. So you got to make up a decision today. Are they worth it? I believe they are. Whoever that they is, they are worth it. And if you do these things, I promise you, if you're consistent in these things, you will start to see marriage the way God actually intended for it to be. Amen? Amen. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. And this is where God took me. He said, well, I'm going to teach you about marriage. I'm going to show you the way I wanted it to be and how y'all jacked it up. Ephesians chapter 5, there was one verse that I remember growing up hearing all the time. Ephesians 5, verse 22 says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. I feel tension right now. Now, ladies, I'm going to help y'all out. Because, see, I watched pastors after pastor after minister, husband after husband, deacon after deacon, beat their wives in the head with this verse. But here's something about Bible study. You can't just take one verse and make a doctrine out of it. Your best bet is to read the whole chapter and find out what God was actually saying. So we're going to do that today. And we're going to find out what God's full intention was and why people were incorrect teaching this out of context. But the real problem is that out of context, we miss what God is really saying. So let's go up one verse to Ephesians 5, verse 21, where it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Uh-oh. Hold on. I'm going to read that one more time. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So you mean, hold on, the wife ain't just supposed to submit to the husband? You mean she ain't supposed to just do what I tell her to do when I say do it, how I say do it, how I feel like it? Now don't y'all get too wound up now, because I'm coming back to y'all now. So there is some submission on both sides that Ephesians 5 is wanting to teach us about and wanting to tell us more of. So starting with verse 21, I'm going to go through this chapter. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And in now we jump into 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Okay, cool. Then it says, husbands, I ain't through. Love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. If you flip that, he who does not love his wife does not love himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. And it's from this passage I'm going to give you the over armor, five laws of protecting your marriage. Let's go to number one. And we're going to take that out of Ephesians 5:31, which says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." There's another verse that's parallel to that, that is Matthew 19:6, which also tells us, "So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Now, anybody that's been married has heard the preacher say that at the end. That which God has joined together, let no man, let no one, let nothing separate or come in between. So law number one is real simple. It looks you in the face and simply says, nothing comes between the team. Your team exists of you and your spouse and Jesus. That's the end of the team. I'm sorry, the kids don't make the cut. The dog don't make the cut. Your best friend doesn't make the cut. Your parents, they really don't make the cut. Some of y'all are laughing. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Nothing comes between a team. And there's three things that will mess your team up. Finances, people, passwords. Oh, passwords. Yeah, let's talk about this finance thing first. Here's something I don't understand, and I'm gonna meddle with y'all just a little bit. You got two people, they get together. They happy, they excited, we dating. I finally got them. You got a job, he got a job. You got a place you pay rent for, he got a place he pay rent for. You got utilities, you got water, you got gas, you got heat. He got water, he got gas, he got heat. You come together, you get married. You got two jobs, half the bills, and you're worse off financially. I do not understand. Because my math says when two people come together, we should be able to do better. We got rid of some bills and we brought in more money. That typically means we should do better. But we don't do better because, no, I'm still going to keep my bank account. You're going to keep your bank account. This cable bill is my bill, and this water bill is your bill. And I make $14 an hour, and you make $15 an hour. Oh, no. If I get married, and I make $14, and she marry me, and she make $15, we make $29 an hour. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't understand. I go out with friends, and they're like, man, I had to leave my wife at home, man. She didn't have no money. She can't go eat. What? No, I love my wife, but if I'm broke, she broke. If you eating steak, I'm eating steak. Or if I'm eating beans and rice, guess what you eating? You ain't going out with your friends talking about something. We went to Outback. We went and got sushi. The devil is a liar. Not gonna happen. Because we're one. We're unified. What I go through, you go through. If we mess up the finances, we broke together. People, they'll completely mess it up. Here's something that we made a rule, and it we had to learn it, and it helped us. If you don't love and respect my spouse, we can't be friends. It's real simple. It's real easy. We have no relationship. And some of y'all got some people in your life that you know don't like your spouse. Matter of fact, your spouse know they don't like your spouse. And these are the ones that will, man, undercover, they'll tear your stuff down. You start listening to them, you hear things, they'll mention things, they'll say stuff that is not beneficial to your marriage. Not at all. And this isn't just for married couples today. This is for if you're looking to get married. If you've been married, it didn't work, and you might want to be married again in the future. I hope these are steps that you look at and say, you know what? Yeah, I got a couple friends that I'm going to have to let them go. You can't be my friend. End of discussion. Well, you know, well, baby, I've known him all my life. You know what? He was there before you was. Well, you should have married him. It's this serious. It's this serious. Passwords. Got news for you. My wife got access to everything. If you got passwords on stuff your spouse can't look at, you shouldn't have it. Get rid of it. It comes between you and them. Just the perception, just the idea of why can't I look at that? Why can't I just use your phone to make this call? Why every time I ask you to see your phone, you got to go in and unlock it before you hand it to me? I'm telling the truth. I've seen this. Oh, baby, hold on. Let me get that open for you. She got fingers. Tell that girl that password and keep on moving. Let's go on to number two. And this kind of ties in with this. And this is the reality that you're always going to see what you're focused on. So everybody right now, well, most of y'all anyway, you're looking at me. You're getting something positive out of this, I pray. But what I want you to do is take a moment. I want you to look at that back door back there. Just swing your head around and take a glance. Look at the back door. Just look at it. Now I want you to look at both me and the back door at the exact same time. Now, if you can do that, we need to call the ambulance or the hospital or something to get you looked at. But you can only focus on one thing. And what you focus on is what you're going to see. I got news for you. None of us in here are perfect. We all got some problems. I raised both my hands. I got some issues. I got some stuff I know my wife don't like about me. I know this. Some of it I'm working on. There's some others I'm like, baby, part of this is just who I'm going to be from now till forever. We get a choice in our marriages. What are we going to focus on? Am I going to focus on the few areas that maybe I don't agree with or that I don't understand? Or am I going to look at the positives of this thing, the reason I fell in love with you in the first place, and start really dwelling on those, building up those areas, speaking life into those things? Because that's what I want to see grow. And when we say you will see what you focus on, the more I focus on that, the more it's going to grow so I can see it. So if I'm focusing on you get on my nerves, you always got something negative to say. I can't stand being around you. Sick of talking to you. The Bible's real specific. The power of life and death are in the power of the tongue. Don't let your mouth get you in trouble. Because we've already proven in Scripture that the minute I stop treating my spouse correctly, I'm also doing harm to myself. Amen. If we're not careful, we'll allow our personality and personal preferences to completely overshadow the areas of our relationship that are totally worth fighting for. So when I got married, I looked at Sonia and we said, we're going to grill today. We pulled our grill out. I got my brats. I got my hamburgers. Had everything ready to go, laid up. Got my plate together and I went in the house and I opened the cabinet. Where'd the ketchup go? Wait. No, I know some ketchup here because I bought some ketchup and I know it was in this cabinet because I put it in this cabinet. So I look at her like, babe, where the ketchup at? She gonna look at me talking about something. It's in the refrigerator. Who put ketchup in the refrigerator? Oh, Jesus. Why you want to put ketchup in the refrigerator for? Why would I want to take my hot food off the hot grill, go into the hot house and put some cold ketchup on it? I don't understand. You don't either. Thank you, brother. I don't understand. So we in the kitchen arguing over some ketchup. Well, maybe I just need to buy my own ketchup. Have my own ketchup in the cabinet. How stupid is this? Angry. angry, for real. Why you put that in there? You messed my whole plate up right now. You know why I like ketchup in the cabinet? Because my mama put ketchup in the cabinet. You know why she put ketchup in the cabinet? Because her mama put ketchup in the cabinet. This ain't right or wrong. It was how I grew up. And she's telling me, well, we put ketchup in the refrigerator so it won't go bad. And I ain't never seen ketchup go bad, no way. What you talking about? It get a little watery, you shake it up. What you talking about? Put it back on that fries. Eat this burger. But we argue about things. We get into fights about personal preferences that, honestly, we got because of simply how somebody raised us. It's not important. My wife is unbelievable in 97% other areas. If I find 3% that I don't like, and one of them is ketchup in the cabinet, I need to get over that real quick and shut up. Amen? Amen. Let's go into another one, and this is one of my favorites right here, number 3. And I'm going to prove to you why it's my favorite. I'm going to show you it even in Scripture. Ephesians 5:25, the first portion of that tells us, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus lived a life without sin, that he was tempted in all areas, and he passed every test. Let's turn to John chapter 2, verse 13 through 15. Because I had a question for God. I'm like, Lord, okay, I got a question. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and in the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all of them from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." I got a little, I was like, Lord, what you trying to say? Hold on, what? Jesus just went in like wrecked shop. Law number 3, sometimes you just got to be willing to make a scene for your spouse. As my grandma says, sometimes you just got to act a fool sometimes to show you love somebody. Anybody ever seen that movie, The 5 Heartbeats? There's a time in there where Duck and his brother trying to play a game and get this woman, and his brother take the girl and walk out with her, and you see his brother, every night I gotta fight for my love. Sometimes I have to be willing to make a scene. And why is this important? Because we know that the church is looked at as the very bride of Christ. There was a passion that he had for his wife, for his bride, that would not allow him to see her mistreated or misused. Now, why was this even more funny to me when I looked into this? Everybody knows about Palm Sunday, which is the day Jesus publicly announced, "I am the Messiah." He made his entry on the back of a colt, on the back of a donkey. People were worshiping him with palm leaves. Hosanna, Hosanna. The Messiah has come. The Prince of Peace is here. 2 days after that, Jesus is breaking folks off in the temple. 2 days. I'm like, Jesus, I mean, shouldn't you like keep a low profile at least if there was ever a time not to tear up stuff? But when it comes to your spouse, there's never a good time to hold back. There is always, always, always protection on my mind. And this is something that we sometimes fail to do because we feel they deserve what they're getting. Oh man, they just said to her or him what I would have said myself. Don't matter. They don't get to say it. You got a problem with her? Come tell me. I'll go talk to her. If you can't say it right, don't say it at all. And these things should be really simple, but we struggle with them. Let's go back into Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28 through 30. says, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body. Just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. Number four is that you need to give your spouse what they need, not what you want them to have. Give your spouse what they need and not what you want them to have. Anybody here ever had somebody give you a gift for your birthday or for Christmas? And when you open that gift, you want to slap them with that gift? Like, you don't even know me. How'd you just go and pick this out? Or they know you and you can tell by the gift they gave you, they simply do not care about how you feel at all. You know what, I'm gonna give you, baby, give me a gift. I'm gonna give y'all an example to see, show y'all what happened. Brother Lewis, can you help me out? Come on down, brother, help me out. So this, I'm gonna give you an example. This is what we do to our spouses. Now, Lewis, I was out yesterday and I was thinking about you. I said, you know what, this brother been good to me. He been a good guy, he been awesome on the worship team, and I just wanna bless you with something. Go ahead and open that up, man. I was out, that's me thinking about you. Go ahead, put that on right there, go ahead. I'm excited about that, because I know he gonna love this. Go ahead. Brother, go ahead, put that on, man. That's gonna look awesome on you, brother. What, you don't like my gift? You ain't gonna wear my gift, man? I spent a lot of time thinking about this. You ain't gonna even try to put it on, you just go. Lewis, I thank you. This is the problem we have. Now you gonna just give it back to me, huh? You can take it with you now. You ain't gotta give it back. Re-gift. This is a problem we have. Cause I didn't spend no time talking to Lewis to ask him, Lewis, what size shirt do you wear? Lewis. Do you even like the Wisconsin Badgers? Lewis, what's your favorite color? Lewis, what size is your one arm so I could have got a shirt that would at least fit that one? And this is how we do our spouses. We give them love in the way we feel they should receive it. We give them love in the way we receive love. Well, you know, I like for people to buy me gifts, so I'm gonna buy you a gift. But your spouse likes quality time. They don't want no gifts. And you keep buying stuff and then getting frustrated because, well, they always talking about they ain't happy. They ain't happy and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. No, you're doing the wrong thing. You're giving them what you want them to have, not what they need. If I need physical touch to know that I'm loved, you can tell me all day long that you love me. It doesn't mean a thing. And I will still feel neglected, even though you tell me every single day I love you. And there's nobody else I'd rather be with. But that's not how I receive love. We got to start having communication. And if I can be even more bold, especially us black folks, we real tough with this communication thing because we don't like to talk and share secrets. We assume everybody in the world is a mind reader. You should know what I like. Got news for you. Miss Cleo didn't know what you like. That's why she went to jail. Open your mouth and start telling folks, this is what I need. This is what I want. This is what I desire. This is what that does for me when you do that. And it's on me or on the spouse or on the receiver to now say, now that I know that, I have to start acting in that way. That's not always easy. If you grew up in a family that didn't do a lot of touch, didn't hug a lot, but maybe your spouse did. That may be uncomfortable for you, but who else is there more important that you should be uncomfortable for? Does this make sense? We got to get out of our comfort zone. We want to protect our marriage. We want to start seeing the fruits of these things that God has blessed us with. That means I got to step outside of what's normal for me. It's not about me. It's about what my body needs. About 8 years ago, I had a traumatic injury to my right hand. I ended up having to have major invasive surgery. I tore several ligaments in the middle of my wrist, And my doctor told me, if you don't have surgery soon, you're going to end up with a deformed hand. But that was the end of the conversation for me. When we doing this? They did the surgery. I still have a major scar that runs down my arm right now. They had to put pins in. It was not pretty. It was not something I ever want to go through again. But for better or worse, this is my hand. And I got news for you. This hand gives me trouble sometimes. It's not like it used to be. It went through some stuff. It went through something traumatic. Some days it hurts for no obvious reason. I'll just wake up, I'll get out the bed, and I'll try to pick something up, and I have to drop it because my hand can't even grip. Now, if I treated my hand like some of us do our marriage, well, what's wrong with you? Why can't you pick up the hand, the other hand doing everything? No, that's what we do. I have days where literally I can't turn a doorknob. I have days. Most of the time, I'm fine. I never know when the days are going to come until they hit. There's no warning. There's no sign. There's nothing in the air that tells me when such and such happened, I'm going to have a bad day. And in those times when it is hurting me, and has anybody in here had an injury of any kind where you've hurt an ankle, you hurt an arm, you hurt a finger? When that thing is hurting, we take the time needed to let it heal. We put a brace on it. We stop using it as much. We elevate it. But when our spouse is hurting, when they're going through things, when they're going through a time where they can't do what they normally would be able to, we don't want to elevate them. We put them down. And anybody who's ever had a sprained ankle knows that one of the worst things you can do is leave that thing down. So when God says, as a man, as a husband, to treat my wife as I treat my own body, it's common sense for me that when I'm hungry, I go get something to eat. When I'm thirsty, get something to drink. When the gas start going out of my car and that little beep sound start coming on, they start telling me I got 8 miles to find a gas station. I go get gas. I do stuff that's common sense for me because it's me. I don't want to be hungry. I don't want to be thirsty. I don't want to be on the side of the road with no gas in my car. But when my wife needs gas in her car, nah, girl, you can go get that yourself. When she says she hungry, or when your husband looks at you and says, babe, can you bring me something to drink? Well, you can get it yourself. You got 2 feet. Are we treating our spouse like we would treat our own body? Do you talk to yourself like that? That would be so schizophrenic. I'm hungry. I'm going to look in the mirror. You ain't that hungry. Shut up. You're going to be all right. Your mouth dry. You spitting dust. You talking about something. That's all right. I don't need nothing to drink right now. You're going to be all right. Look in the mirror. We don't do that. But for me, when I find those times, and I do, and I'm telling you, this message hit me as well at home, literally. When I find those times where I'm struggling to do these things for my wife, I have to realize Ephesians 5 is calling me out. And it's letting me know that these are things I'm still in the process of working on and getting better at. Amen? Amen. All right. So remember that. Give your spouse what they need, not what you want them to have. Now, verse 33 wraps this all up, giving us a summary of what each person in a godly marriage needs to do to have a successful marriage. And if you guys can go ahead and put that next slide up there. It's an amazing verse that says, husbands, love your wives. And wives, respect your husband. Each man must love his wife as he loves himself. And the wife must respect her husband. You know what's funny there is that Paul used two different terms. Why did he just say, love your wife, love your husband, call her today? Because we're two different species of people. We got two completely different needs. There's a wonderful book out called Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And if anybody has ever heard that, and I used to like just laugh and make fun of all type of stuff, let me tell you, I started reading these books and it opened up a world I did not understand. And nobody ever told me, like, all this knowledge is out here waiting for us to go get it. And when I started reading this, we respond to two completely different worlds of things. And then wonder why we can't get together and be on one accord, because we're not acknowledging this reality. Women were made to respond to love. They were made for this. They were made to respond to love. They were made to respond to love. Not the love that just say, oh, yeah, baby, I love you. You know, I work a job, I bring the money home, and I'll be here, and I ain't going nowhere. Do you love her like you love your own self? And I promise you, she can look at you and tell. You can't fool nobody. You can't fool your wife. Y'all know. You live at home. You live with somebody. You know everything about them. You find out some stuff after you get married. You're like, I wish I had known this. So they're made to respond to these things. It's built into them. I want to read you Ephesians 5:33 from the Amplified Version, because this gives us even a definition of the difference between this love and this respect. Ephesians 33 in the Amplified says, however, let each man of you, without exception, love his wife as being, in a sense, his very own self. Love her like you love you. And let the wife see that she respects and reverences her husband, that she notices him, regards him, honors him, prefers him, venerates and esteems him, that she defers to him, praises him, loves and admires him exceedingly. Women, we got a whole different world of needs. And every man in here knows respect is number one on the list. We live for it. We work our jobs for it. We play sports for it. And real men, know that respect is something that's earned. See, love is a little different. Love is something that is meant to be given away freely. Doesn't matter what you do. Don't matter what you say. Don't matter what the day is. Doesn't matter how I feel. I'm going to love you like I love myself. I'm going to take care of you. But the thing on the other side of that is that as I do this, and women, if you see any area of my life that I'm, and you can tell I'm trying. I'm trying to love you the way that you need to be loved. I need you to celebrate me. We thrive off of that. We play sports for this reason. Sports are simple for us. This is why we go back to them. Sports have clear rules. We know the rules. Women, quit changing the rules. Tell me the rules. Let me know these are the rules, and let them be the rules. Okay? Don't nothing make NBA players madder than when the referee can't tell quarter to quarter what he gonna call or what he not gonna call. Tell me the rules. Give me clear boundaries. Hold me accountable for those boundaries. If I step out of bounds, blow the whistle. Foul. I might argue a little bit, but if I know the rules and I know the boundaries, I'm gonna back down because I know, you know what? Yeah, I did. We need competition. Let's be honest. Few things on earth make us feel better than beating up on another man and letting him know we better than he is. It's a dirty thing. But it's true for a lot of men. We have this competitive drive. I want to beat you. I don't just want to beat you. I want to beat you so bad you never want to play me again. And I don't want to just beat you when it's just me and you. I want to beat you in front of everybody. I want everybody to know how badly I beat you. I was talking to Bishop, and he had me dying laughing. Bishop said he hit a hole-in-one on a golf course. Never did this ever in his life. And he said he started celebrating, and he looked around and realized he was by himself. He's like, wasn't nobody even there to see it. For us, that takes the thrill away. I hit a hole in one. Ain't nobody here. Might as well not have happened. I'm doing all I can to love you. Nobody knows about it. Might as well not have happened. I'm telling you what we need. I'm telling you, men, that when you start loving your wife the way God has called us to, she can't help but respond to that. I don't care where she is emotionally today. I don't care. It doesn't matter how deep in the earth you've buried her with the things you've done or said. If you start digging day after day after day, you'll start bringing her back to the surface slowly. Matter of fact, she won't even realize it's happening at first. She'll just start noticing something's changing. Something's different. Something is going on in his life. I don't even like him right now, but I want to kind of be around him a little more. Can't even help it. Women, when you see anything, and let me tell you, it's some men, and many of us have been messed up by society. We've been messed up by how we were raised. We were raised by, in some cases, by extremely strong-willed women that did not allow us to make decisions. We're not used to doing things a certain way. We weren't taught. So you gotta find something, find anything. That brother make a bad hamburger. Brag on that man making a hamburger. Put it up on Facebook. Get him a Hamburger of the Year award and put it on the wall. We've got to start celebrating. This is called home court advantage. And you see it all the time on the TV. Folks go play away. You're like, who is this? What happened? But something about playing at home, it's something about when the crowd is cheering and when they chanting your name and whatever you just did that got that crowd roaring, I got to do that again. There's this feeling that comes up inside of me and says, I got to do that some more. This feels incredible. And there's nothing more incredible to a man than to have his wife say, there's nobody else like you. There's no one who can love me the way you do. Nobody provides for me the way that you do. Find some. This is how we start protecting our marriages. These are the things we have to start putting into place. Start speaking life. This is what I see you doing. This is who I see you as. These are the gifts I see inside of you. This is who I see you becoming. This is who I see God turning you into. They might not be nowhere close to that. But the Bible says that faith is when I speak those things that are not as if they already were.
Thank you for joining us at Plain English with Pastor Jay. If you would like to hear more of Plain English, please subscribe to this podcast, rate and review it on iTunes, and share it with your friends on social media. Once again, thanks for joining us at Plain English with Pastor Jay.